Kia ora, welcome to Aaron's Podcast, episode 303. Today is Friday, March 28th, 2014. And today is the 7th anniversary of the Aaron's Podcast. My first episode I posted on March 28, 2007. And that episode, along with all the other previous episodes, is still available at aaronspodcast.com. However, I wouldn't recommend going back and listening to it because it was pretty dreadful. In those days, among other things, I was using a USB headset to record rather than these studio microphones. And the sound was pretty awful, and I didn't really know what I was doing. Actually, I don't know that I do now. Be that as it may, I do like to think that I've gotten better over the 7 years at doing these podcasts, just as with my blog. I suppose it's one of those things, the more you do something, the better you get at it. But whether that's true or not is really not for me to say. But I can say that those early episodes were pretty awful. But they are still all there. If anybody's feeling particularly masochistic or perhaps can't sleep, they are still available for anybody who cares to find them. And that's emrenspodcast.com. To get to them, you just need to go on the list of dates on the sidebar. So, what have I been doing? Well, last episode, I said that it wouldn't be 3 months until my next episode, and I was right. It was more than 3 months. Actually, I looked, and I think I did 10 episodes in 2013, which means not even once a month. But considering that my last two episodes were about 3 months apart, then, you know, that's not too bad to have gotten 10 in last year. Look at the bright side, right? So I've been typically busy. Nigel was off from December 13th to January 13th, and so we had a lot of fun. We went and visited people and did some stuff around the house and those kinds of things. And then just after New Year's, the Robs were in Auckland to catch their cruise ship, and Nigel and I met them and went out for lunch and just kind of pottered around town a bit, showed them a little bit of Auckland that they hadn't seen already, and just had a really lovely day, and we're looking forward to catching up with them when we're next in the U.S., whenever that may be. So that was a highlight of the first part of the year. And then, since then, we had my birthday, obviously. And, I say obviously, but it should be obvious. And we had some holidays here and there, and just kind of, you know, lots of fun stuff. There was a reunion for Nigel's family, Nigel's mother's side of the family, in February in a town called Te Kuiti, which I blogged about, and at least a little bit, more about Te Kuiti what do you call that thing? I just said it. Reunion. God. Hello, my name's Arthur. Anyway, so among the other things that have been going on, my driver's license expired. Now, in New Zealand, we used to have what they used to call lifetime licenses, which was a bit of a misnomer because they expired when a person turned 75, and then they had to, I think, get one every year, every 5 years, or whatever it was. But several years back, the government changed it to make them 10-year licenses instead. And several people were, several makes it sound like five or six, a lot of people were upset about that, saying the government promised us lifetime licenses and then they're breaking their promise. Well, whatever. Part of the deal was they wanted to introduce photo ID driver's licenses, which makes us more compliant with other countries around the world. Mind you, this is way before terrorism or anything like that was an issue. And so that was actually part of the motivation behind it, although there were some who said it was just a way for government to make money on the backs of people. Well, whatever. So they're 10 years, and they expire on your five birthdays, 25, 35, 45, 55, 65, 75, and so on. And mine expired technically on January 21st when I turned 55. However, they give you 3 months to get your new one, 3 months from your birthday, and that was up on March 25th. So the Monday before, I was going to go and get my license. But here's the thing. My license said that I needed corrective lenses. And of course, I don't need corrective lenses to drive anymore because I had the LASIK eye surgery several years back, 5 years ago, I think it was. And so I thought to myself, I'm going to go there. They're going to do the eye test, which may or may not be good because, you know, they're not professionals at doing eye exams. But how am I going to convince them that I don't need lenses anymore? And I thought the best thing to do was to go to an optometrist. And I haven't been to one for years anyway. And I should be monitored because at my age, you know, you should be. And so I scheduled an appointment with a local optometrist and went. He was a really good optometrist, probably the best I've ever been to. And did all the tests. And he found that I have early signs of cataracts. Isn't that nice? And he said it's going to be several years before it's a concern. As a matter of fact, my next appointment isn't for 2 years. And so he did all the tests and everything, tested my vision, filled out the form for the driver's license people, and that was basically that. My glaucoma thingy was fine. Everything else was fine except for that. So then I got my form, and I went off on Monday, as I said, on that Monday, to get my driver's license, and it was really quick. It was only $43, which I thought, you know, for a 10-year license is actually something of a deal, especially considering how much car registration costs. And that was that. And then 10 days later, I got my new license in the mail and done and dusted. And it no longer says I have to wear corrective lenses to drive. And I had forgotten all about that. It never even occurred to me, actually, that I needed to do anything to update my license. And it was only when they were doing a routine stop on a street near here, and the cop looked at my license, says you're supposed to wear corrective lenses. Oh, I see, you've got prescription sunglasses. And he was talking so fast that I never even got a chance to say anything. But of course, I wasn't. They were just ordinary sunglasses. And so that was the first time it ever occurred to me that I should really do something about it. And this was my first opportunity. So that's all sorted. I've got my new driver's license. My vision's fine. And I don't need to go back to the optometrist for another 2 years. Actually, it came up on my blog talking about optometrists. Corplane mentioned this, that ophthalmologists, being doctors, can do more advanced stuff. And that's true, but I'm not aware of anybody who goes directly to an optometrist without a referral. And optometrists are more of a partner in healthcare than they are. They're sort of the first line, I guess, in New Zealand. And people go to optometrists, they get the vision test, but they also can treat certain diseases, eye diseases, like, for instance, an infection from a contact lens, or some kinds of rehabilitation work. And this is a relatively new thing, providing that they've gotten specialist training, which my optometrist has. And that's different, again, from an optician. An optician, all they can do is fit glasses. They can do the measurements, and they can make sure glasses fit and all that sort of stuff, but they can't do eye tests or write prescriptions. So So anyway, there's a little difference between optometrists and ophthalmologists. And ironically enough, the optometrist said that when the time comes to have surgery for the cataracts, that they'll probably send me back to the exact same place where I had my LASIK eye surgery in the first place. So maybe I'll get the same doctor. That would be good. He was quite good. So that was that. Then the next thing, which is probably in some ways also age-related, is I went to the dentist today. Now, big deal, right? Unlike Auntie Vera, I've been going to the dentist off and on for years, except that I often have very long gaps between them. And I am a lousy dental patient, participant or whatever in my own dental health. I brush and all that sort of stuff, but I hate flossing. It gives me the creeps to floss. And naturally, as a result of this, I have periodontal disease. So I have to go to a periodontist, and I've got to get that sorted. And I also have a tooth that's broken before, and it's got cavities. So he said, look, normally I would recommend a crown, but because you've got to get all the periodontal work done, I would say, let's just fill it and all that for $600. Thank you very much. But as opposed to thousands for a crown, so I suppose it's not so bad. And once the periodontal stuff is done, then I'm going to go to an orthodontist and see about getting my teeth realigned, because for two reasons. One, I've always hated my smile since I was a little kid, because I've got a gap in the front. If you've seen photos of me, you know what I'm talking about. And I always hated it, and there's nothing I could do about it because my parents couldn't afford to send me to an orthodontist when I was a kid. Now, I don't know that for certain. They never said, we wish we could send you, but we can't afford it. It was just that I knew from hearing them talk about, you know, various things, that it wasn't something that they could do, and so I never pushed it, never suggested it even. Plus, which in those days, whether a boy's appearance was good or not didn't really matter. Girls, that was another matter. They were supposed to look pretty, but if a boy didn't look so pretty, it didn't matter that much. So it was never done when I was a kid, and then I got older, and, you know, as a young adult, I certainly didn't have the money to do it on my own, and time passes. Well, you know, now I look at it, I've got, statistically speaking, I've got probably over 30 years left to live, and if I don't take care of all this stuff now, I'm going to have to get dentures eventually. So why not get this all taken care of now? So I am. So first the periodontist, get all that sorted, get all the problems fixed. Then next, orthodontist to get things realigned. And then finally, we'll do cosmetic smile building or whatever they call it. I can't remember. But basically to make it all pretty. And so for the first time in my life, I'll be okay with my smile. Wouldn't that be nice? I have no idea how long all this is going to take. I know it's going to cost tens of thousands of dollars probably by the time it's all done. The way I look at it, it's going to make my eye surgery, the cost of my eye surgery look like I bought cheap sunglasses by comparison. But, you know, I've lived with this my entire life, and it's probably affected me my entire life one way or another. And I can take care of it now, and I want to take care of it now, so why not? Plus, which, you know, it's going to save me trouble down the line because I probably won't need dentures if I actually deal to this now while I can. So that's my big adventure. And I told the dentist that dentists are on the list of three things in this world that I'm deathly afraid of. The other two are spiders and snakes. He laughed and he said that he's read somewhere that some people feared going to the dentist more than death. He couldn't figure out what that was about. And I said, well, I wouldn't go that far exactly. But yes, we've been doing some things around the house, or some reorganizing, I guess. One of the things is I finally put new shelving in our laundry cupboard. Now, I talked about that years ago, but I never got to it because I always was going to do it during my summer break, and we ended up doing other things instead, more fun things, if I'm truly honest. And so I put a shelving system in there similar to ones I put in two other wardrobes, except that it's white and a lot more of them. And so all the linens have a place to go. But because I took everything out, and some of the stuff, frankly, I haven't touched in years, and they all smelled a bit because I used to keep the vacuum cleaner in there too, which if you have ever been around a vacuum that has to vacuum up dog hair, they end up smelling pretty quickly. So anyway, I ended up putting in a lot of shelves, and I took everything out and washed everything. And I'm almost done. I have a few little things left to do, but I almost have everything washed and put away. And so for the first time in years, everything's all neat and tidy and clean and wonderful, and I'm feeling very proud of myself for having gotten that done. But other than that, we're just doing, you know, general tidy ups and things like that. It's sorts of things I probably should have done a long time ago. Well, some of them I definitely should have done a long time ago, but never got to. But now they're done. So that's pretty wonderful, isn't it? Now, I don't know how much I'm going to be podcasting going forward. I hate that phrase. Why did I just use it? In the future, from now on, whatever. But I do know that I'm planning on doing more than once every 3 months. And that's why I thought this was as good a day as any to restart or relaunch or whatever you call it, this podcast, being as how it is my 10th anniversary. Oh, my God. I just added three years. My third anniversary. Oh, God. Seventh anniversary. Math was never my strong suit. I freely admit that. So anyway, what was I saying? Oh, I'm not going to do it every 3 months. I'm going to do it more often than that. But I don't know specifically what any of them are going to be or be about or what have you. But it did occur to me a while back that one of the things that I personally enjoy the most about Antivirus Podcast and Big Fatties is when they talk about age-related issues. Not because I learn anything particularly new, although sometimes I do. I, after all, experience many of the same things that they do. It's more that I think that it's good for people, younger people in particular, to hear about things that they're going to be facing, and for older people to go, oh boy, do I know what you're talking about, kind of thing. So that's why I have started talking more about what is going on with me personally, rather than just things going on in New Zealand or in the world or what have you. Having said that, however, I'm still going to keep talking about things going on in this part of the world. For example, the Prime Minister of Australia, Tony Abbott, has just recently reintroduced imperial titles, you know, sir for men and dame for lady for women. And I think this is the most bizarre thing I've ever heard. First of all, the titles have been abolished for over 30 years, and he suddenly decided to bring them back for who knows why. He's a royalist, a monarchist, and that may have something to do with it, but it's really strange because he didn't talk to his cabinet. He didn't talk to his caucus or his caucus mates in the in what they call the National Party in Australia. He's of the Liberal Party. That's 19th century Liberal. And not 20th or 21st century Liberal. And meaning conservative. And, geez, can I interrupt myself anymore? Yes, I can. And and he brought them in all on his own. Now, it created a sort of a conundrum because there was the current Governor General of Australia who was about to leave. Her term was up, and she was going to be replaced by a new Governor General. And in order for that all to happen, she had to accept knighthood, became a dame. But she's a Republican, lowercase r, thank you very much. And so that put her in an awkward position because she's opposed to the monarchy. She wants Australia to become a republic. She thinks it's inevitable, as do I. But she didn't want to, but she had no choice but to accept this royal title because her successor was going to be Sir Peter Cosgrove, who used to be head of the Australian Defence Force, and or whatever they call it. And so she had to accept this title. So I mention that because she got a lot of criticism about it because people were accusing, especially conservatives, were accusing her of being a hypocrite because she was a Republican, lowercase r, thank you very much, and yet accepted this royal title. And it's not like that. It's not that she really had a whole lot of choice in the matter. But what makes it even more complicated is that the leader of the opposition in Australia is her son-in-law. And he was opposed to reintroduction of royal titles. So it gets really messy. But, I mean, Australian politics is often very messy. And Tony Abbott is messy in the head, in my opinion. He's just nuts. Here in New Zealand, however, we have our general elections coming up on September 20th. And it's just announced a few weeks ago, a couple weeks, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And naturally, I'm going to have a lot to say about that in the coming months. This past week, I went to the local electorate committee. Actually, that's not what it's called. I can't remember what it's called, but it is basically the local party for the New Zealand Labour Party in our electorate. And first time I've been in years. I used to take part a lot back in up until about the 2002 election, or actually just past that, and because we moved away from Auckland in 2003, and I just never, when we moved back, I just never started up again. And but my friend Richard Hills, who I've mentioned before, is active in the party, and so he coerced me into going back and taking part again. And I'll have more to say about that in future episodes, but I think that's all I'm going to say about that for today. Now, I have no idea how the election's going to turn out. The media pundits would tell you that Labour can't win, that it's Nationals' election to lose. And there's a certain amount of truth in that, except that the polls are all over the place. And one of the polls is called the Roy Morgan poll. And the latest one had National complete in a dead tie with Labour and the Green Party, so who would form a coalition government. So it could go either way, and a lot depends on what happens between now and September. If the government has more scandals, because they've had a whole bunch of things go wrong for them, over the past couple of years in particular, but this year as well. And if they have more scandals, that could be a problem. If there's suddenly an international incident, that could be a different sort of problem for perhaps for Labour. You know, there's a lot of things that can happen between now and the election. But I do think that if National does manage to retain power, it will be with a very reduced margin. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. And I will certainly update things as the election progresses. And I will talk about that more next time. But now, the other things that are going on in New Zealand, we are involved in the search for the missing Malaysian Airlines flight, plane, whatever. I've noticed on ABC News in America, they have often been flying with the New Zealand crew, which I thought was interesting. I don't know why them as opposed to the Australians or whatever, but anyway, whatever. But our current Prime Minister, John Key, was at the nuclear security summit in The Hague, in the Netherlands. And they have this big map of the world, and New Zealand isn't on it. And apparently the Prime Minister was having a press conference, and some Dutch official came running into the room and ordered everybody out. And you know, a little bit disrespectful, although I'm presuming that that Dutch official didn't realize that that was the Prime Minister of New Zealand who was giving a press conference at the time. But maybe she did. I don't know. But we just don't get no respect. Unless your name is Lord and then you win Grammys. But that's a whole other issue. So that is all I really wanted to tell you about today. I'm updating you on the most, maybe the most important things that have happened over the past few months. And there will be certainly more to tell you about in the episodes to come. There are some things, some irons in the fire that I'm not quite ready to talk about just yet for a variety of reasons. But they'll give me things to talk about in the future. But that's it for today. That's it for the first 7 years of the Amarin's podcast, and here's to however many more. Now, there are probably some people who just assumed that I was never coming back, which is a completely understandable sort of thing to be thinking. But I do want to assure you that if I ever do decide to stop, and I assume that one day I will, I'll say something before I do that. I won't just stop. So even if it's just a short announcement or whatever it might be, I promise I will say something and not just disappear. Well, unless I get hit by a bus, then I don't have any say in the matter. Well, I shouldn't laugh about that. It could happen. That's it for today. That's it for the first 7 years. Have a good weekend, everybody. I'll talk to you sooner. Bye. You can comment on this or any episode of the Amarin's Podcast at amarinspodcast.com, where you can also leave a voice message. You can send me an audio message through Audioboo or Skype, where my username is Amarin's, and you can email me, with or without a voice message, at Arthur, that's ARTHUR, at amarinspodcast.com. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.